Okay. So the Gemara here will be discussing Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There's one other point I just wanted to add to our discussion, and then we're going to go on to the next Gemara, which is actually on Yud Beis. So we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to discuss the next Gemara of Eilonis. But before we do, there's one other point in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish that we have to complete, which is very, again, a very important principle. So the Gemara says here on Yud Amud Beis, Itmar. Just to go over again, but then there's one piece of the Shakla Vitaria that we, you know, was kind of a tantalizing presence, but we never had a chance to fully discuss it. So the Gemara says one more time, Itmar, Cholitz, Ivento, the Chaz of the Kidsha, Omer Eshlak is Shu in Chayav ala Chalutza Kares, Vahachim Chayav ala Chalutza Kares, Al Hatzara, Beinu, Beinu Achim Chayav ala Hatzara Kares. Again, this is what we've been discussing for the last four Shurim, that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argue what happens after Chalitza. Last week we discussed what happens after Yibum, and what is the difference between after Yibum and after Chalitza. If there are many brothers and many co-wives, so only one brother and one co-wife are going to be involved in the actual process of either Chalitza or Yibum. And the question is, what happens to the relationship between the remaining brothers, the remaining co-wives, etc.? In other words, do we go back to the Isur Veshasach, or is it some new reality in the case of Chalitza Lo Yivne, in the case of post Yibum a mitzvah saseh? So the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, you go back to Eshasach, with the exception of Cholitz and Chalitza. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Bein Hu Bein Achin Einan Chayavin Lo Ala Chalitza Kares V'Lo Ala Tzara Kares. That actually you never go back to Eshasach, right? Because since any of these could have been the Yabam or the Yabama, so there's no din of Eshasach anymore. And the Gemara explains, "My time to Shalkesh Amakor Shola Yivne Kim Shalabana Shola Yivne Iu Dekoi Bela Yivne Aval Echav Kedekaimi Kaimi." Reish Lakish says everybody but the actual parties involved are going to be subject to Eshasach because they go back to where they were before the whole Yibum obligation began. Right, the same is true with the co-wives. Rabbi Yochanan says, can it be that these all could have been involved in Yibum and Chalitza, and in fact, now you're going to try to revive Eshasach? That's impossible. Ela iu shlichusa da'achim ka'ovid, ihi shlichusa da'tzara. Instead, and we look at everybody's being involved, everybody is represented, the all brothers are all represented by the Yabam or the Cholitz, the co-wives are all represented by the Chalutza or the Yabama, and therefore everybody is only going to be subject to the Lav, or in the case of post-Yibum, the Asay, and they're not going to be subject to Eshasach. Okay. So the continuation of the Gemara asks a question against each of these. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish begin to try to adduce evidence. We've read this before, but there's just one little piece that I wanted to get back to. Eitzer Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there's no Eitzer Reish Asach, questions the position of Reish Lakish. What's the question? Hakolet Leivemto, because of a kidsha, if a person does Chalitza, so now she's Chalitza, so because of a kidsha, then afterwards he decides to marry her. Right, and then Umeis, then he dies. Right, so he did Chalitza, he did Kiddushin, he married her. He's not supposed to, because it's an Isur of Layivne, but he does. So the Kiddushin is Tofes B'chai B'lavin. And now he dies, and the question is there going to be Yibum with the brothers? And what's the problem? If you hold, like Reish Lakish, that there's an Eshes Ach status from the first brother, right? When Reuven, the first brother, married her, it turns out that there's an Isur Eshasach, a remnant of Eshasach from there. So even though Shimon married her in the interim, and normally there would be a situation of Yibum, but since the status of Eshasach from the Reuven days still applies, so there should be no Yibum. But this Braisa says that Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achin, that you do need Chalitza. Do need, thank you so much.
No line numbers.
That's right. Do need Chalitza is an implication that there is a Zika and that the Yibum would be Chal as well. And the question is, why should that be? Bishlomo l'didi, this is Rabbi Yochanan's question. According to me, Reish Lakeh, me, Rabbi Yochanan, I hold, there's no Yisrei Shasach, Tamina Kaivin Lavaninu, Haina Tzricha Chalitza Menachin, you need Chaldir Zika, you need Chalitza, because the Kiddushin is Tophes, and therefore, and there's no Yisrei Shasach, and therefore there is a Zika, etc. Ela l'didach, but according to you, Reish Lakeh, that Eishas Ach is back, so it should be like the Erevas of the Mishnah, where there's no Zika, there's no Yibum, and there's no Kalitza. Amai Tzricha Kalitza? That's the question.
Okay.
So Reish Lakeh responded to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Bili Tameich, but according to your reasoning, in the Sefer, let's continue reading the same Brisa, you'll see that this Brisa doesn't work very well for your position either. Why? Because what does the Brisa say in the continuation? Amad echad min ha'achim v'kidsha. If one of the brothers decides to offer her a kiddushin after the chalitza, and this is a chalitza, right? So, according to Reish Lakeh, after the chalitza, everybody has a relationship of the other brothers and co-wives have Eish Asach. So, could kiddushin be chal? No. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only Chai Be'lavin, and therefore if one of the brothers offers either the Chalutza or one of the other wives Kiddushin, the Kiddushin should be Chal. So what does the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Amad Echad Min Ha'achin B'Kiddusha Ein La Olav Klum, that the Kiddushin is not Chal. If one of the brothers tried to be Mekadisher, the Kiddushin is not Chal. V'I Chai Be'lavin Ninu, and if you think that we're dealing with Chai Be'lavin, Amai Heimla Olav Klum, this Tfisas Kiddushin, that's the question, right? So the Gemara says, so the point is the Reisha sounds like a Yochanan, because the Reisha says that there's Chalitza, right, in a case where the second brother dies and there's no problem of Eish Asach. The Seifa sounds like Reish Lakeh, because it says that if one of the brothers is Mekadesh, her, the Kiddushin is not Chal. So the Gemara says, Omer Sheisha, Seifa, Son, Rabbi Kiva. The Seifa is Rabbi Kiva, the Amar who says, Ein Kiddushin Tosin, B'chai De Lav. And we've discussed this already. Okay. Rabbi Kiva holds that even B'chai De Lav and there's no Tzitzis Kiddushin. So really, the whole Brisa is basically Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, but it's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Kiva. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'lisu the Divir Rabbi Kiva, Ein Olav Klum. If this Brisa is so specialized, it's only according to Rabbi Kiva. We don't pass them like Rabbi Kiva. Usually you pass like the Rabbanan, so shouldn't you make mention that the Brisa, the Seifa, the Brisa is Rabbi Akiva? Right? So the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right, it's a good Kasha. Okay, but you can't just leave it at Kasha, so we still have a Brisa that sounds like it's going in opposite directions. You can't have that. So the Gemara suggests another way to get out of the problem of the Brisa. Ravashi Sabar La Kiresh Lakish, Umetarit La Krab Shimon, Rabina Sabar La Krab Yochanan, Umetarit Skrabanan. The Gemara says you can go either way. You can see the whole Brisa is going to Reish Lakeh, but then you have to explain the Reisha. Or you can say the whole Brisa is Rabbi Yochanan, but then you have to explain the Seifa. Okay. So the Gemara explains, Rav Ashi Sabar La Reish Lakeh, right? If the Brisa is Reish Lakeh, so what do you do with the Reisha that says, seems to say, that there is Yibum, right? There should have been Eishes Ach, not a Yibum. And Metaritz Lo, Kirab Shimon. And it explains it according to the position of Rab Shimon. Who is Rab Shimon? This is the Pshat. Hacholetz Leivemto, right? There's a Chalitza. The Chazar V'Kidsha, right? And then he, meaning Shimon, is Mekadesh, the woman that he was just Choletz. Right, so the Kiddushin is Chal, and then Shimon dies. So the Brisa to say Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achen. The brothers would require Chalitza. Now there is a Zika. That's against Reish Lakeh because Reish Lakeh should say it's Eish Asach. So the Gemara says Man Achin Achin Hayilodim Kiman Kerab Shimon. This is referring to the din of Reb Shimon. What is the din of Reb Shimon? This is a topic in the second parak. The one of the 15 erbas of the Mishnah is Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olam, meaning a brother who was born after his older brother died. They didn't exist in the world at the same time. It's ki yeshu achim yachdav. They weren't yachdav. And therefore, there is no yibum under those conditions because it's a violation of eishes ach. Ah. But what happens if the what happens if the brother, this younger brother, right, who was born after the oldest brother, let's say, died, let's say he is born after Shimon already did yibum. Right? So that's achit shaloa yabo lama. Call that. That's a situation of yibim ba'achar kach nolad. That's what we call it. The yibum took place. So basically, when he came into the world, this woman was Eshes Shimon. Even though the history was that she also was Eshes, his brother that he never knew, Reuben. Right? So Shimon's view, and the Chachamim disagree, this is the Mishnayos in the very beginning of the second paragraph of Yevamos, the Chachamim say, it doesn't matter when this later child, this younger brother, was born. As long as he never had the possibility of doing Yibum, right, with this sister-in-law, Betoras Eshes Reuben, he forever is designated as Achid Shaloh Yavamamo. And even if he's born right into a situation where she's already Eshes Shimon, he's still considered Eshes Reuven Shelo Yabo Lamo, and he'll never be a candidate for Yibum, even if Shimon dies. That's the view of the Chachamim. But Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says, if it's Nolad V'achakach Yibim, so that he was born when she was in a state of Zika, so he was a potential but an excluded or disqualified candidate, then the status of Achim Shalom Yabo Lamo remains. But if he was born Yibim, the Achar Kach Nolad, after the Yibum, born to a situation where he only knew her, only relates to her, never as the former wife of Reuven, who he never knew, but only as Eshes Shimon, so then if Shimon dies, and of course he coexisted with Shimon, then he will be a candidate for Yibum going forward. So what the Gemara is saying is, the Mishnah, this Braisa rather is a Shlakish, and all we mean is the following: if there's a younger brother who is born later, according to Reb Shimon, if he's born late enough, then the situation will be that he will be a candidate. If Shimon dies, he'll actually be the only candidate, according to Reish Lakish. Why? Because the other brothers are Eshes, they're Eshes Ach of based on Reuven. He's not Eshes Ach based on Reuven because he was born after the resolution took place. So he will be the candidate. That's what it means. That's what the Mishnah says. Come on, from Shimon, Amad Echad Mina Nola Dim V'Kidsha. But if it's one of the other brothers, Yilo Dim, according to our Girsa, is used here to say, the, you know, the ones who was born after the resolution. Nola Dim are the ones who were born earlier, right? Meaning they coexisted with Reuven, or they were born before the resolution, right? Ela Olav Klum. Come on, Keresh Lakish. So that's the explanation. Oh. So here, there's a major, major debate in the Rishonim that I want to talk about a little bit, and that is as follows.
Why is Tzricha Chalitza? Why is
Tzricha Chalitza? Midrabanan, they don't allow the Yibum, it seems. Probably Midrabanan. Tosis assumes that it's Drabanan. Tosis assumes Drabanan. Yeah. Tosis, see this one second. Tzricha Chalitza Menachem. If you see the second Tosis? Tosa says it's based on the principle of Hashta B'muta La'asura B'asur Lola Kol Shekein. So the Gemara earlier on, Gemara a little bit later rather, on Yud Aleph on the base, and also in Sota on Bava Med Aleph. But that's how Tosa says. Others say Tol Yidin Rabbanan, it's Chai B'Lavin. That's how they explain it. Because the Mishnah says in Daf Chaf Med Aleph that Chai B'Lavin are always only B'chalitza and Abibah. At least it's Chai B'Lavin here, right? Yeah. Oh, that's what you're going to ask him?
Oh, okay. Is it a
Chai B'Lavin? Sure, it's Chai B'Lavin. Because it's La'ivne.
Now, that applies even going to Shimon to you and I.
Oh. I mean, will this apply also? Is this right. Statement, will this statement only be according to the Chachamim, according to the second day, or even according to the first That I'm not sure. Okay. I mean, the Chayvei Lav part would only apply there, but the Hashad Butzel La'asur Basel La'kol Shekein would probably apply both. Okay. Now, this is the question. When we say Rav Shimon's din, I say it's the first two Mishnayos and the second parak. So Rav Shimon's a very interesting din that Nolad Achar Yibum, right, is going to be a good candidate for the second Yibum. Because when he was born into the world, he never relates as Eishes to her as Eishes Ruvain, right? He always relates to her only as Eishes Shimon, and Eishes Shimon is Ki Yeshu Achim Yachdo. So in Yibum, it's clear, it's easy to figure out what the case is, right? The issue is Nolad Lefnei Yibum or Nolad L'Achar Yibum. But here we're talking about not Yibum. There's later on in the middle of the Gemara, the one we read last week, we're a little bit calling it Freya sometimes, right? It's somewhat Yibum, but here we're talking about Chalitza. So what is the din? How do you apply the din of Reb Shimon in Chalitza? So one would have thought that the way you apply the din of Reb Shimon in Chalitza is Nolad L'Achar Shecholatz, right? However, our Gemara is talking about not only Cholatz, but Kiddush. In other words, when you have the Yibum case, Yibum does two things at once. Number one, it resolves the Zika situation of the woman, right? She's a Zekuka V'Yomedes, she's a Sura L'Shuk, and you do Yibum, that removes the Zika. But Yibum does something else at the same time, right? Yivama Yavo Aleha B'Yibma, right? Ulekachalo Leisha. So what happens when you do Yibum is two things. There's a resolution of the Zika, and there's a marriage to the Yavam, a complete marriage, as we'll discuss, right? We've discussed it already. The Gemara Daf Lametes, the Gemara Daf Chaf, right? That there's no Machshu Grushaso, there's the requirement of a get going forward if he wants to end that marriage after the Yibum, meaning it's a real Ishus. So in the case of Nolad L'Achar Yibum, it was Nolad L'Achar Sheniftara Zika, and it was also Nolad after she already has a different status, namely the status of Eishes Shimon rather than Eishes Ruvain. Correct? But in the parallel case of Chalitza, you only have one of those, right? Not both. Because let's say this child, this brother, was that child, called a brother, the brother was born after the Chalitza. Right? Before the Kiddushin, though. So if the child is born after the Chalitza, before the Kiddushin, he's born after the Zika. Right? But he doesn't relate to her as Eishes Shimon. She's not Eishes Shimon. Now, if he was born after the Kiddushin, then he'll relate to her also as Eishes Shimon. But we should also note that even if we're going to be talking about after the Kiddushin and relating to her as Eishes Shimon, that is a separate din, that's not the Torah's, the resolution of the Zika. That's because two independent operations took place here. In the case of Yibum, one thing happens. The question is, conceptually, are two things happening or one thing happening? Certainly the case could be made. Yibam Yavolav Yibmal Kakalol Yisha is one fell swoop. That's a big issue whether you could separate the two. But okay. In the case of Chalitza and Kiddushin, if that's what we were to require, right, we would have to explain how that combination works, because it seems like a coincidence, mostly. Oh. So Rashi here...
there's only a question by Rishlokish, right? This doesn't create a hammer of Yochanan. It's only by...
Well, the case is only important to come up with for Rishlokish, but in theory, the case could come up also for Yochanan.
Yeah, but I don't think he has a problem with it.
We have no problem with the brisa that is being resolved here, but he does have a problem. But why can't you ask the same question for Rabbi Elkanah?
Because he wouldn't have a problem with the case.
What do you mean?
It won't be the problem because he's saying everything is resolved.
What do you mean everything is resolved? Let's say you have...
He marries him. He marries the wife.
Who marries?
Shimon marries...
Shimon marries...
After Chalitza marries the woman.
Okay.
And then he dies. So the brother is evil.
No, but the brother... who wasn't alive together with the first brother is still going to have the status of Achir Shelo Yabalamu. He can't if he's an Eshesach, he can't be a Yabam. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to work it into this particular brisa, but Rabbi Yochanan has this, you could ask Rabbi Yochanan the same question. There's a din of Achir Shelo Yabalamu. That means a younger brother who didn't exist when the older brother, right, was alive, cannot be is an Eshesach, but he's never a Yava. So let's take Rabbi Yochanan, right? Reuven and Shimon, there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi all existed at the same time. Little Yehuda was born after Reuven died. Now Reuven died, Shimon married, Shimon did Chalitza, then Shimon married the Chalutza, the Kiddush of the Skal, right? And now, little Yehuda was born, or, let's say Yehuda was born, little Yehuda was born, after the Chalitza, before the Kiddushin. So it's the same question. You don't need it to resolve this price, because that's not a problem. But the logical question is still there. In other words, whenever you have you have a precedent, right? So we always have to analyze the precedent. Before we apply it, we have to see whether the conditions of the precedent might apply to the application. Now, sometimes there are always going to be some differences. The legal theorist's job, or the judge's job, right, is to determine whether or not the differences are consequential, as we've said many times. So here we know that Rav Shimon, right, says this Kiddush, that Achid Shelo Yabolamo Shenolad Achar Yibum, right, is not a problem. Now we're trying to figure out, when you translate this into, our Gemara is translating it to Chalitza. Without our Gemara, we might have argued that the din of Rav Shimon is limited to Yibum. But our Gemara is saying, you know what, the din of Rav Shimon applies, Bein B'Yibum, Bein B'Chalitza. But what we don't know is, in the case of Chalitza before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin, if all we care about is the resolution of the Zika, there's no difference between Yibum and Chalitza. But if we care about the fact that she has a shame, Nisuin, her new married name has been supplanted by another name, then we should care about Kiddushin. But is Kiddushin post Chalitza the same as a Kiddushin which is part of the Hagdara of Yibum? Not so simple.
Vis-a-vis that late Nolad.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Only that is.
In other words, Nolad la'achar chalitza v'kiddushin, or Nolad la'achar chalitza lifnei kiddushin. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to say here, Umetaritz l'Reisha, the second line, the Braisa, the Ketani Tzor Chalitza, v'achim, Shenolad la'achar chalitza v'kiddushin sholsheni, ukrab Shimon. The Amar of Shimon says, Yibem, ulebesof Nolad, Lo mahani nifilasa min arishon lemahavala eshes achit shelo balamo. But if this little brother is born after the yibum of the first, of Reuven's wife already took place, then there's no shame eshes achit shelo balamo. Hilkach zikas hayhi nefila lo asra lao. Therefore, the zika of the second yibum is not going to be disqualified for little Yehuda. Because the Kiddushin already took place before he... What Kiddushin? Why does Rashi add the words Kvar Kiddushin? He should have said Kvar Yibem Zeh. Right?
He's talking about this case where he's Makadish.
Right, so it sounds like he thinks that it would not have been enough that he would be born after Chalitza. He has to be born after the Chalitza and after the Kiddushin. Right? That's what it sounds like. The Rajba says it explicitly. I don't remember if I put it down here. We'll see in a moment. No, I didn't. Looks like I didn't. But I did put down the Me'iri, so this is good. The Me'iri has two deos. Look at the Me'iri.
The old one.
Page five, on mine it's page 5. You all have the better.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I didn't bring that one.
Where did I?
Okay. Below Sof Davar Benoldu, everybody have that?
1 and 6.
Page 5, line 6. Below soap dover benodu la achar misa kodem chalitza. Ela af la achar chalitza. Sha chalitza eina kinyan. The Meiri says explicitly. Right? And I said the Rashi was explicit. The Rambam Rashi doesn't say explicitly, but Rashi's case implies that as well. Namely, if the brother was born after the chalitza, before the kiddushin, Rav Shimon would tell you it's inadequate. It's a problem of achat shalei ela b'malo. Why? The Meiri says, this is what the Rashba says, shachalitza eina kinyan. The chalitza solved the zika, but the chalitza doesn't create a kinyan. What does that mean? The reason, according to Rav Shimon, that there's no problem of achat shalei ela b'malo is because when the child is born, the kinyan, right, Yibum already supplants. She's no longer Eishes Reuven. She's now Eishes Shimon. The fact that the Zika of Reuven has already been resolved is not enough. There has to be a shame Eishes Shimon. The point is that when he's born, that's who she is. She has a new identity. Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan. But in the case of Chalitza prior to Kiddushin, says the Meiri, Chalitza is an inadequate kinyan. Now, if you remember last week, we read a very fascinating Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi discussed the question of whether or not Chalitza is a kinyan. But the Yerushalmi was speaking in, you know, very... Yerushalmi says, what do you think? Chalitza is a kinyan? The first one Yerushalmi on this group. Absolutely not. But what was the Yerushalmi being docha? Yerushalmi was being docha a very extreme perspective on Chalitza being a Kenyan. What do I mean? The Yerushalmi wanted to know, the one that we read last week, when you do Chalitza, maybe the Chalitza creates its own equivalent to Eishes Ach. Just like when you marry somebody, right? She then becomes an Eishes Ach, such that even if you divorce her afterwards, right, she's still you're still in violation of Eishes Ach. So the Yerushalmi thought the same thing would be true if you do Chalitza. If you do Chalitza with her, then she becomes the equivalent of Eishes Ach or Eishes Chalutza. So, meaning Chalitza is a kind of a Kinyan and then a Hafka. Just like a Kiddushin and a Gerushin, all wrapped up in one. That's what the Yerushalmi said. Yerushalmi said, every time you do Chalitza, there should be an Isra Eishes Ach. Wow, that's an amazing idea. So Yerushalmi says, what are you talking about? You think Chalitza is a Kenyan? It's a matter, it's not a Kenyan.
Chalitza was a Kenyan.
So one second. So what I'm trying to show is, this Yerushalmi is a very well-quoted Yerushalmi. The last line. Chalitza ain't a Kenyan, Chalitza matir. Right? That's the line. Here, I'll show it to you again. Let's look on page 1 for a second. Appears a few times. This long Yerushalmi in the beginning. Here. Again, I don't have the lines in front of me. Because of the Amar, Ein Atiodea, this is 3, 6, 9, 12, about 15 lines down into the piece. So I'm guessing it's probably like line 17. No? Ma ben chalitza etzlo, ma ben tzar etzlo? Because of the Amar, Ein Atiodea, mishum ma at mechaibasa, imishum ishto shol cholet, imishum ishto shol meis. Everybody have that?
Line 14.
14. Okay. Am Rav Yosa, ma tzover chalitza kinyan, eina ela p'tur. Eina achen chayavan alea mishum ishto shol choleitz, avon chayavan alea mishum ishto shol meis. That's a terrific line. So Yerushalmi says, what do you think? Chalitza is a kinyan and a get, all wrapped up in one. He gives a chalitza, it's like he marries her and then divorces her instantaneously. And therefore there should be an eishes ach. Remember, Eishes Ach is even if there's no longer Eishes Ish, right? That's what Yerushalmi thought. Yerushalmi said, it's not that, it's not a Kenyan, it's a Matir. So the Meiri, the Rajba, A lot of the Rishonim quote this Yerushalmi throughout the Masechta, whenever they want to tell you that Chalitza is not a kinyan. However, we shouldn't lose, and that's what the Rajba and the Miri here say. They say, listen, according to Rav Shimon, if the brother, if the little brother, the baby brother, Yehuda, if he's born after the Chalitza, but before the Kiddushin, so when he's born, what are you going to say? She's Chalutzas Shimon, and she's no longer Eishes Ruvain. Right? What do you think? Chalitza's a Kenyan? That's what the Rajba and the Meiri are saying. If it was really a Kenyan Gomor, like an instantaneous Kenyan Negerushin, then you'd be able to say it's the equivalent of Yibum, and it's an Eishes Shimon, not Eishes Ruvain. But it's not true. I'm only here to say two things. Number one, when Yerushalmi said that Chalitza is not a Kenyan, it's a Matir, it was rejecting the most extreme view of Chalitza as a Kenyan. It was saying Chalitza is not an instantaneous Kenyan Megerushin. That doesn't mean it's not a Kenyan at all. It doesn't have Kenyan problem. There might be a Kenyan Chalitza, it's just not a Kenyan Ishus. For example, Rabbi Kiva, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, in the Mishnah, as we've discussed, says that Krovos Chalutzaso, right? Just like Krovos Ishto, there's something called Krovos Chalutzaso. It doesn't have to be as intense. It's not Krovos Kukoso. That if a woman has a relationship of Zika, meaning she's a potential Yavama, you don't say that all her relatives are according to Rabbi Kiva, are under the rubric of Krovos Kukoso. But if their Chalitza takes place between the parties, then it's Krovos Chalutzaso. What I'm trying to say is, even though the Yerushalmi rejects that this is an instantaneous Kiddushin, the Gerushin type of Kenyan, it doesn't mean that it's not a Kenyan at all. Number two, who said that Rav Shimon needs a Kenyan? Maybe what's important in the Yibum, as we discussed, is the Heter, that he doesn't walk in as a potential but disqualified candidate for Zika. As long as there's no Zika, because that's been resolved, and that's all we care about. You don't need the Kenyan of Yibum. You need the Hafka Zika of Yibum. And that you have in Chalitza. Number three. Even if that's not enough, Hafka Zika, and maybe you don't really have sufficiently a Kenyan Chalitza, maybe all you need is a Shem Chalitza. Maybe all you need is that Chalitza isn't just a Matir which gets her out of the Zika, but there's something called a Chalos or a Shem Chalitza. Having undergone the experience of Chalitza, right, that's a designation. And the point is that to supplant the status of Eishes Reuven, you don't need that she should be Eishes Shimon because Chalitza is like a Kiddushin Negerushin. All you need is that she should be Chalitza Shimon. And that would be enough as well. So what's interesting is that even though the Rajba, Rashi, the first day of the Meiri, all of them say that in the case of the Gemara, we have to have Kiddushin and Chalitza for it to be the equivalent of Yibum. The Meiri quotes the second day. If you look here, the second day says, the Daitam Lashitas Rav Shimon Shemachar Shinod Lachar Shechola Tokhala Zikas Nisu and Rishonim. I'm sorry, the Yeshim Farshim, second line. This is, what is it? Page 5, I'm guessing.
Page 5.
Line 7. The Yeshim Farshim, Metarit Slol Rabbanan, Dafka, Ubinolad Lachar Chalitza, the Daitam Lashitas Rav Shimon Shemachar Shinod Lachar Shechola, really Achar Chalitza is enough. If it's Achar Chalitza, Holchala Zikas Nisuin Arishonim, the Zika's gone. In that sense, Chalitza is just as good as Yibum in ridding us of the Zika. The Havalei Kiyavam V'Achar Kach Nolad V'Nimsa L'Shitas L'Shul D'Rab Shimon Meis Cholatz V'Nolad K'Meis Yavam V'Nolad. The Miri says, Vein Nira, okay, I don't like it. Shein Tamil Shom Shum B'Yom and Vach Kach Nolad and Mevnei Shemotzah B'Heter Avozeh Shecholatz B'Yisr Mashkachla. Meaning she has to be resolved, she has to be in the state of Kenyan, and so on. So I think that the point is that the second day, the Miri will either say, all we care about is Zika, Hafka Zika, or it'll say that there is a Kenyan, albeit not as intense a Kenyan as Kiddushin V'Gerushin, or we'll say, all we care about is the Shem chalitza. So this would be very important for Shimon in general, but also for the nature of chalitza in the comparison to Yibum. And I want to take this one step further. Yeah.
I digress slightly. So Yibum is not Materis Lashuk until she undergoes chalitza.
Or Yibum. Right. Or Yibum and Gerushim. Right. Chalitza.
Could we say that there's a lav habor miasei on the brothers? They can't marry outside.
They could. Well, in Kerem, there's no, unless I mean Kerem would get a Gerushim,
isn't there? There's a chalitza on this woman. Not one of the brothers should be permitted to marry.
There's no such thing. Not only that, but the Gemara says later on. We had this a little bit. We talked about the Rajba and the Gemara Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's say in the state of Zika, the brother, before doing any Yibum or Chalitza, marries her sister. Remember that? He marries her sister, then he puts her on ice. Then the sister dies. That was the Rajba. He's not supposed to do it. But it's not an Isser. It's not an Isser. Because he can marry more than one wife, it's not an Isser. In the context of Yibum Drabanan, after Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, maybe, but it's Midin Torah, there's no such Isser. Now, but I want to take it a step further in the following way. Two things. Number one, the Rishonim will ask a question here on Yud Omid Beis. Tosfos relates to the question. All the way in the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara records in Beit Rochen and Resh Lakish. What's the case? The fellow did a chalitza, right? And then he was Mekadesh. So all the Rishonim ask, why does that have to be the case? Why don't you just say he did a chalitza and then he had a relationship with her? Why Dafka Kiddusha? Right? Well, number one, it's always nicer to speak of Kiddushin. But yeah, except that it's also Chai Ve'lav.
It's
not Sofrum. So if it's already not Sofrum, you know. Right. Normally, I mean, Rishonim do say this in other places. They say, well, we you know, Kal Yisrael, you know, Kol Eida Kulam Kiddushin. That was said by not such good people, but you know, in a good sense.
And other Muslims
also. Yeah, but here already the point is that either way, he's not a candidate, you know, for a special, piety award, because this is a Chai V'Lav. So the question is, why are we talking about Dafka Kiddush? Why not to say Baal? Right? Baal Chalutzasa, why Kiddush Chalutzasa? So Tosus relates to a little bit. Tosus says, V'leka the member denokat v'chaz of a kidsha, v'ashmina dehu eino chai v'la chalutza kares, v'lav ika, v'fisha kidsha. Tosus discusses it. Tosus ends up giving a technical answer. Tosus Rabbeinu of Peretz has an interesting line. Tosus Rabbeinu of Peretz says the reason that we talk about a case of Chalutz V'Kidsha is because you might have thought that after Kiddushin, maybe there's no longer any problem going forward of Layivna. Because she has a shame ishto, l'chol davar. Kamash milad, it's not true. Okay. What I want to try to show, especially based on what we just discussed about cults of the kidsha, is that this whole issue in l'kula and l'chumra, right, Rav Shimon and other things, this idea of to what extent does she remain or retain the status of the Yavamas Reuven is really what I'm asking. How long does that history, that initial experience, continue to cling and to identify her, right, vis-a-vis some of these dinim and isurim? That's kind of what Tosfos Beit Peretz was looking at, which is why it says Chazar V'Kidsha. You might think Chazar V'Kidsha. You know, we've put Reuven in the back in the past, and it expressed itself in various ways. So that's one. Marshal Amad Over Dome, just to see it in a slightly different way. Ochet Shaloya Balamo. Tosa says that this is the Pshat for Rav Shimon. If you look at Tosa on Chaf Omid Aleph, just for a second. Tosa talks about, certain cases of Yibum. being a circumstance, ha'isura de'islei hetera. Right? So it, that sometimes zika, etc., is isura de'islei hetera. So he explains, the poka isur eshesach, the shame, top tells the shame eshesach is gone completely. The yachalak zira achar shagirsha, the haraya, once he does yibum, it obliterates the shame, this is what Tosis is trying to say, the shame Eishas Ruvain, now she becomes Eishas Shimon, because otherwise, if you divorce her, right, why would he be allowed to remarry her as long as he didn't marry anybody in the interim? After he divorces her, after the Yibum, one would think if this should be, this is the Harei Yishto L'Kol Devarah. The Gemara says that's why there's no Yisra Masu Grishasa, and you need a get. Right? Meaning, the Yibum creates a real Eishas which needs a get, and which has a heter masu grishasa. You don't say, well, if you're going to be masu grishasa, and there's no longer any yibum, that's eshesach. You don't say that, right? And Tosa says, v'chihecha depokale legabe didei isur eshesach, just as vis-a-vis the yabam, the eshesach is pokale gamri, even after a get. He's now just eshes shimon. The shame eshes ruvein is gone legamri, right? Pokanami legabe achiba nolad. For Rab Shimon, that's true, even for little Yehuda, who was born after the Yibum. Because we don't even relate to him anymore, in terms of her, right? As Eshes Reuven. Not that little Yehuda is still the brother of Reuven, who we never knew. For example, if there's some, Yerusha or other things, or his other relatives, he's a brother. Right? But in terms of relating to this woman, as Eishas Ruvain, Eishas Shimon supplants Eishas Ruvain. Now sometimes it's a kula. What I want to show, especially with Tosafot parents, is that it can also possibly be a chumra. In the following case, not the yava. Let's say you have the following case. Let's say you have a regular case of chalitza. Right? The man is chole tzimisha. Right? Now, according to our Gemara, there's now an Isra of Layivna. He's not allowed to be involved with her going forward after the Chalitza because of the Isra of Layivna. Correct? What if somebody else married her and then he wanted and divorced her or died? Does it make a difference? And then he wanted to be involved with her? Would it make a difference? Would there still be Layivna? Or maybe this would be Eshesach? Or should there be nothing? Well, nothing, it doesn't seem that there can be. So maybe there should be Eshesach again, because in the interim, her being married to another party and being divorced, she's now, once she was Eshes Ploni, right, is she still Chalutzas Ruvain? Chalutzas Ruvain is Bila Yivna. Right? Is she still Chalutzas Ruvain? Or is she just the former wife of Ruvain? And now the wife of Ploni. In other words, has the shame Ishus, a new shame Ishus, supplanted, right, with respect to this dilution of Eshesach, has it supplanted the shame Eshes Ruvain, which is a kula here? No.
Chalutzas Ruvain. Somebody else married
in
the middle.
Chalutzas Shimon. Ruvain and Shimon. You know, you understand. Yeah.
How can Eshesach exist in perpetuity?
What?
What's the intervening?
Well, according to Bali Tosis, it might, though, because Bali Tosis think Dechuya, right? So maybe the only thing that's. So let me frame the question in a slightly different way. When we began this topic, so I mentioned Rav Yehuda of Brod Shlakish, Rav Yochanan, I said, if you hold Hutra, which we've been talking about all year, meaning the idea that in a Yibum situation there is no Eshesach, correct? So then Rav Yochanan's position is very reasonable. Rav Yochanan says there's no Eshesach, we're just dealing with Layim. However, if you hold like the Bali Tosis who think mostly, it seems like, that Yibum is a din of the Kuya, so how can you pass like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there's no Eshesach? Why wouldn't you say that there's Eshesach? Right? So one of the main things that we said for Bali Tosis on the spot is that they're Lashitasam, because they think that Layivna itself is Eshesach. It's Eishasach without the Onish. Nitko Lekares. That's what they say. However, all along I've been alluding to the possibility that there might be another explanation. That even though the Baalei Tosfos hold that the Easter of Eishasach should come back because it's only the Chuya, maybe there's another reason, or both reasons, why it doesn't. And maybe that reason is because the act of Chalitza itself changes her status. She's no longer Eishes Ruvain, she's now, you want to call it Chalutzas Shimon. I meant Chalutzas, no, Betoras Eishes. And as Chalutzas Shimon, we don't relate to her as an Eishesach. But let's say we no longer relate to her as Chalutzas Shimon, because she's gone on to other things. And now she's some other person's wife. Maybe that obliterates Chalutzas Shimon, and now she's back also to being the old wife of Ruvain. Now, well, I wouldn't even think of this, to be honest, but this is very strange. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Not to Rashi, Marshal and Rabbeinu Tam. So look here at the very end of the Mar Makomos, just very quickly. You have, again, I don't want to go into the details, it's a little bit complicated, but in the Mishnah Gittin, about Peyom and Beis, the Mishnah discusses the following type of case. Let's say a woman thought that her husband was no longer alive, and she remarried, but it's her bar and baruch, and then he shows up. She's like the Mishnayos that we learned about in Parakah Isha Rabbah, in Yavam Bas, and the Gemara speaks about it, Mishnayos speak about it in the end of Gittin, about Pei as well. So we say, Teitzin Mizeh Mizeh, right, even though it was all a mistake, right, she, you know, is treated like a sota with regard to her old husband and her new husband. What about if it wasn't that? Let's say there's a Yibum situation here. Will you do Yibum after the mistake? Or does it look too much like there was a Chalitza in the interim and it's like being Miyabim or being Mekadesh Chalutzasa? That's the background. So the Mishnah says, Kola, Raish, Amru, etc. The Gemara says, Nisu, if the relationship that she has, you know, mistakenly, whatever the situation is with a husband, she tries to marry someone, then you have these dinim. You exclude Yibum going forward, etc. But Zinu, if she just had a relationship with someone, or an encounter, and it wasn't a marriage, so then it will not disqualify the possibility, since it was a mistake, of going back and doing Yibum. So Rashi explains, Zinu lo, Heino asurli isyabim, the nisu, if it was a nisu and that took place in the interim mistakenly, chomor, that's something which we're machmir about, shema yomru chalatzah, because somebody on the outside will say, oh, she did chalitza, the nisei, so then she married someone else. The chazal akonsa, now it looks like the yabam, wants to marry her after she married someone else. So there's a chalitza, another nisuin, and now he wants to be married in the kadesha. What's the violation for that? If you would want to? Well, you have them, presumably, right? Mishin is garish. I mean, after the garish would be with that new husband, the habalei no says chalutza, so the kamlei, but you have them. Perfectly innocent, Rashi. It wouldn't have bothered me. However, very famous Marshal, Chachma Shlomo, Peyom and Beis. Rashi de Ramasko Zinolo, the Kamlei de Yivne, near be Enai lo Uchal Lahavin Ze, says the Marshal. I can't understand this. Ta Eishas Achiv, Manish Vechayiv Karis. Rashi says that if in a situation where a person does Chalitza, then she goes out and marries a third party, gets divorced, and then he wants to be involved with her again, that's only Lo Yivne. That should be Lo Yivne, that should be Eishasach. Wow. Lo Aminon Shekam B'Lo Yivne Elohecha Sholom Yisasach Har Chalitza. That's if nothing happened after the Chalitza, right before the next phase. Shelo Yachol Shuv L'Yavma. She's, how does he relate to her then? As Chalutzaso. Avalecha Shinasa Achar Kapha. She married somebody else. She was his Chalutzaso. She was B'Lo Yivne, but then she went out and she married another party. That's an amazing Marshal. Marshal says that the Isra of Lo Yivneh right, is only if you have a relationship with her right after the chalitza, and no one else had an interim relationship. Otherwise, if she's Eishes Ploni after being chalutzaso, then you treat her like Eishes Ach, and not like chalutzaso. What, the other person's marriage undid your chalitza? No. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been allowed to marry the other person. What does it mean? I would say it's supplanted. The layivna is a result of the shame chalutza, or the kinyan chalutza. Otherwise, there really would be eshesach, according to Rashi, according to the dechuya people. The marshal doesn't like it. Marshal says, "Kasa marshal." Pierce Rashi, Havalei Tzederet, Kasa Marshal, Lo Chala Avin, Dar Eish Asach HaMamish, Havalei Chashinisa Achach HaKach Havalei Kegush Asach HaMamish, Ad Kam Lishona. Vani Teimo Lov. Marshal says, I don't understand the Marshal. Mehech Yotza Lo Dinze. Where did he get this halacha? Havalei Kegush Asachiv. Where did it come from? The Imishim Shekvar Nisa Anasa Acher. Aye, because she married someone else than me in the meantime. Hare Medina Shari. Liyav Ma'achakach. Ilam should the Mikhla Khabisha Shalak Madbalam Divasayam, and so on. He doesn't like it. El Hakamishim the Khalats, Lo Kabla Belayivne, the Divir Rashi, and the same Beli Gimgum. So I don't know what the Marshal wants from poor Rashi. Anyways, there's a Sefer Yashar, Beit HaTamim, Sefer Yashar, says something very similar to that Rashi. Talking about a slightly different case. Hashe'ela Vatshuva, Kvar Hubal, the Sefer Yashar. One second. Maritva Mordechai, etc. Ba Maisel Lefnei Rebbe, Bi Yavama Shemes Bala, Yavi Yavama, her husband dies, of course she's Yavama, her husband dies, leaves no children. But La Yada Sheyesh La Yavam, she didn't know there was a brother. He never told her he had a brother, or she thought something happened to the brother. So she thought she was free and clear after the husband died. The whole Chavit Iskad Shal Hashuk. She married somebody, third party. The Lo Yodea HaMekadesh, she is Kufaliyah. He also didn't know. He between the Slibo, he married her. He didn't know it was a problem. Uba Odarusa, no da Adabar, Lo Nasa HaMekadesh. Right? So there was no, consummation of the marriage. The Shol Shrabenu, that's a Rabbanan question. He Kansina LeMekadesh LeHotzi, although you say like the equivalent of Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, in this case, right? And what, or can you do Yibum still? The Heshiv Kibo Matsinu Knas B'Shomeres Yom Shenizkav Shalashuk. We never found that you have such a Knas in such a case. Elim Kenisas Benitzah Tzaras Islandis. And so on. Skip a little bit. Elabadai. Skipping down. I don't want to sort of finish this up. Avagav Vika Lemecha Shema Yomru. This is 3, 6, 7, or 8 lines from the bottom. Avagav Vika Lemecha. Does anybody have a line number?
15.
What is it?
15.
Avagav Vika Lemecha Shema Yomru Cholatz Vekidesh Zeh Vekoza Vegirsha Benimsa Idach Maksa Gushaso. Right? Even though it seems to other people that what happened here was that he did a chalitza, then she was mekadesh, right? The chazar, the girsha, the nimsa idach maksa gushaso. That's very strange. Why does chalitza turn this into maksir gushaso? And then intervening, an iser maksa gushaso. So if the person who wrote the footnotes here, in the bar, whatever you have a plus, it's a footnote. So he just wrote, Tzorachi, my matzah gushasa, he got, what's he talking about? Chalutza habalei lemeimart. You should say it looks like chalitza, not matzah gushasa. Bain bar abba. Banai kaimalon kigon, rahan kig shimobana shubla yivna, says the Rebbeinu Tam. Behu bekares? What? Layivna's bekares? Layivna's not bekares, the whole point is Layivna's Nitko minakaris, it's falav. Right? So he also points out in the footnote correctly. Mikan Raila Das Marshal Gitan Payoman Base, Arashi Zinu the Khalutza Shanisais, Atsuliyavam Mitam Eshasach, Ay Marshasham, Ubazayashiyashit Smiyasish Behem Bahara. Hey, the kachnaka grushaso talia nesuin vagerish and chalutz enough with the yama. It appears that it's not just the marshal's attack on Rashi, but the rabbinic talmud and sefer Yashu really holds this way. That if you have a chalutza and she would be bili yaleivne and she would marry somebody else in the interim, that and then you know that marriage ends through death or through divorce, that the isur would be an isur. He calls it leivne bekares. Doesn't really matter to me. The kares part is what's important. The marshal just says eishasak shel kares. There's no leivne bekares. Right? Leivne bekares means it's leivne, but it's not diluted anymore. So it's back to being, it means eishasak. How does that make any sense? But if the whole point is that the only thing staving off eishasak, according to these Rishonim, and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and Marshal, these are people who are more in the Dechliya camp, if the only thing staving off eishasak is the shame chalutza, then when the chalutza, same chalutza is paka, not in the Zika sense. But we don't identify her anymore as Chalutza Shimon. We now identify her as the new Mrs. Plony. She used to be Mrs. Ruvain, then she was Chalutza Shimon. She's always going to be the former Mrs. Ruvain. But she's always going to be the former Chalutza Shimon. Or maybe it's enough to be the former Chalutza Shimon. Maybe you have to be the present Chalutza Shimon, right, to avoid Eishasach. So once she is Mrs. Plony, Mrs. Plony, right, renders Chalutza Shimon as a shame, as an identification, null and void. Or puts it in the past instead of being in the present. And once that's true, then the fact that she's the former Mrs. Ruvain, which is Eishasach, and that's the end of it. That's Kares.
But when she's Chalutza Shimon, she's no longer Eishas Ruvain.
Well, she is. She always will be Eishas Ruvain. The question is, in a meaningful way. That's what we're saying. Chalitza is according to these Rishonim, it's a small group of Rishonim, but what we're saying is that since Chalitza isn't the king in Gomor, it's not like Yibum.
It takes away the Zika.
And it gives you a shame Chalitza. But it's not a king in the Kol HaDevarim. That's what the Yerushalmi said. So it can work for what it works. But we're not surprising that it doesn't work as well as Yibum. We're just surprised that even if it doesn't work as well as Yibum, you know, it still doesn't work adequately enough that it's vulnerable, that Asus Plony should render it obsolete.
It wouldn't work if he was a Yahweh, if Shimon was a rabbi, right? And then Shimon was a Yahweh.
Right. Presumably not. Yeah. Okay, that's the... Yeah.
The expression used, the former Mrs. Ruvain.
Yeah.
This is telling. Let's say the Easter of Eishasach will still exist no matter how many times this woman marries and divorces.
Absolutely. If there are children.
She will always be
the former Mrs. Ruvain.
Mrs. Ruvain.
For the brothers.
Yeah, for the brothers.
Absolutely.
And yet, one incident, which is only matter for a brother, whether it's Yibum or Chalitza, but still, what is this for the brothers can never be removed, no matter what took place.
It's our children. If it's not a Yibum situation, then Easter Eishasach is implacable. It never goes away. And it's because that's part of the philosophy of halacha here. In other words, certain relationships, even in the past, are important. Sometimes the past is important. Past family history is usually important. The fact that she is she still my sister-in-law, or is it sufficient that she was my sister-in-law? That's an interesting also way to put it. But certain past relationships don't go away. And that's... Yibum is a different story. What makes us tricky is because it's the Heter based on Yibum, so that's why the Eishasach part, but it never goes away because it's part of the past. The proof is, as many... Nisas and Gabrishans as there will be, she could be married 30 times. If she was once married to my brother along the way, that's an implacable Eishasach.
Exactly.
Deraisa. Kares.
Right.
No thesis could have manzer.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. Yeah.
So, just generally speaking,
yeah.
Is it possible to draw a policy distinction between Hotra and the Chulia? And I think branch out and saying it depends on whether you favor Yibum over the Yerba or Eishasach,
What do you mean favor?
In other words, you think that's more important?
Well, either way, everybody agrees, whether it's say putra or dechuya, everybody agrees that you do yibum in the context of Eishes Hach, all things being equal.
But it's more important.
The question is it an overriding?
Right. In other words,
or is it established that there is no Isur Eishes Hach under these conditions?
So isn't that equivalent to saying that...
Well, either way, it overrides. At minimum, it overrides. Hutra says more. Hutra says, b'mokom mitzvahs yibum ein kan Isur. Not that it's overridden, but it doesn't even exist.
But that lessens the consequences of Eishes Hach. That
right.
lessens the significance of Eishes Hach.
Right.
But and that sort of contrast.
But again, still only in the circumstance of Yibum. Only in a Yibum circumstance. Right? It's still only when you have Yibum. When you don't have Yibum, if there are children, right, if there's any child, right, there's implacable Eishes Hach.
This is why we read Arayos on Yom Kippur.
Okay. I'll buy that. Scary.
All the arayos are on
Yom Kippur. Yeah, achrayos. Are we not achrayos?
Isn't there a conflicting message in the Mishnah, which seems to draw every preference against Yibum and in favor of sustaining Eishes Hach?
I'm not following. Say that again. Which Mishnah?
In the first Mishnah.
Right. No. The first Mishnah
seems to make everything come out
Eishes Hach
on the side of Eishes Hach.
The first Mishnah is telling you that there are exceptions to Yibum and Zika. And namely, if you have 15 arayos, not Eishes Hach. If aside from Eishes Hach, she's also your mother, your daughter, your mother-in-law. So then, it's not Eishes Hach. Now the question was that ends up triggering also an Eishes Hach. That's our next topic. But that the Mishnah has to be understood in context. The Mishnah is saying if you have to straight Yibum, Eishes Hach, Yibum. But if it's more complicated than that, and there are 15 arayos cases aside from Eishes Hach, one of them is Eishes Hach Shemo Yabalam. Right? But that aside, your sister, your mother, your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, so in addition to Eishes Hach, those are arayos. Then there's no Zika.
Yeah, but the Mishnah said all those other arayos overwhelm people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what the Gemara discussed. That totally makes sense, because Eishes Hach is an institutional clash. That's what Yibum is. These other things are coincidental clashes. So, you know, it's just because the institution of Yibum and Eishes Hach, we have to find a modus vivendi between those two, because they're two legal institutions that cannot exist. Right? That's what Yibum is. Yibum is, what do you do with Eishes Hach in the context of Bahakim Lachim Shem Yisrael? But if in addition to that, she's also your daughter-in-law, that's a coincidence. The fact that in that situation, that's an ikum, doesn't shed any light on the relation, on the inherent clash between Eishes Hach and Yibum per se. It just says that, on the contrary, that is being fought out on a certain plane. And where there are other coincidental relationships, you can't just trample all over that. If the issue had been Yibum at any price,
right.
You know, and Eishes Hach proves it, then it's easier to understand why you would think that other arayos would fall as well. And that's what the Gemara discusses. That's what the Gemara says. Well, is it all asedokalos asesheyesh bakaris? That's the Gemara's discussion. But that we should conclude that we don't say that, and that we distinguish between an institutional clash and a coincidental clash, is extremely reasonable. The Hava Mina points in a certain direction. Maskana remains an open question. Yeah?
I mean, if the possibility of Yibum never arises, let's say there is a child after the death of Gubbe, no one would say that on an intervening marriage, the ages are status would ever change.
Right, that's what we were saying before. Absolutely not. She could be married 30 times. And if she's still Eishes Hach to the brothers of every single husband along the way. Any brother, any husband who she marries, who has brothers, and there's no Yibum situation, are Isur Eishes Hach Leolam. Now, as I say, you could say it in different ways. You could say because a sister-in-law is a present relationship, no matter what. It's generated by marriage, but it outlasts a marriage. Or you could say because the past matters in some cases. Sometimes you can put the past to rest, and sometimes you can't. It's a very fascinating issue. I mean, in some relationships you can, and some in Parshas Arayos are different ones. For example, Achos Ishto, your wife's sister, is prohibited to you after a divorce. But she's not prohibited to you after death. Obviously, that relationship is deemed, and they're both sisters-in-law.
Right.
So it's fascinating that, you know, one, you know, is irrevocable, the other is not irrevocable. Or one is irrevocable in one way, and one is irrevocable in another way. This is really more accurate. Because as I pointed out in the beginning of the year, Achos Isha, the other sister-in-law, is also the makar for not allowing the 15 arayos to get, you know, overridden by Yibum. It's like Tale of Two Sisters-in-Law. Like, it's a fascinating contrast in some respect. I mean, we could explain it. That's where you get a philosophy of halakha from. Meaning, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the two sisters, the Eishasach and the Achos Isha. They're different. More kal, more chomor, in different respects. Different. And what about Kaloso? And what about, you know, Chamiv? And what about Eishas? Okay, the stepmother. Which relationships depend on the connecting party to be alive, right? And which not? It's a very fascinating question, right? It goes to the nature of relationships in halakha, right? Which are ones that are generated by, but are not limited or completely defined by a connection. You know, is it only because she's my daughter, she's the wife of my son, or is she my daughter-in-law, or my mother-in-law, or my sister-in-law? These are the questions, really. These are really the questions, really. Okay, I have a couple of minutes. Let's start the next topic, the Gemara, just so we'll frame the question. And then the Mar Makomos, which maybe we'll get in one Mar Makomos since they were, copied. Yeah. So the Gemara here speaks about islanders. Yud Bey Samadala, that's what we're up to. I'm going to skip one topic, the topic of Miun. We did a little of the other Gemara's action on Yud Aleph previously. Maybe I'll get back to Miun. Miun is a little bit complicated, but doesn't stuff is like candy, right? Yeah. The Miun is like is a Igloi Milsulam Afreya problem. It's like, you know, rewriting history issue. But it's very, very interesting. Maybe we'll try to do it. Okay. So the Gemara says, you see the little dalet in the Gemara towards the bottom? It's three. In my Gemara, it's five lines up from the widest lines. Right? About 14 lines from the up from the bottom of the page.
The line starts with the front line.
Yeah, Pratt Island. No. Two up from there. Yeah. Amar Abasi. So the Gemara says, Amar Abasi, Tsaras Island is Asura. What if you have the following situation? Let's say the brother Reuven, our good friend Reuven, poor guy, Reuven, he had three wives. One of Reuven's wives was an islandess, meaning she was physically incapable of, she didn't have the capacity for physical maturity to produce a child. Okay. So the Tsaros, what's called Tsar Rivka Leah, right? So Sarah is an islandess. So the question is, now there's no Yibum with an islandess, because the Torah says, Lahakim La'achiv Shem B'Yisrael, there should be potential of a child. And the islandess, that's what she is, she can't produce a child. What about the Tsaros? What about the co-wives? Now we know that Tsaros Erva, if one of the three wives is one of the 15 Ervas, my daughter-in-law, my mother-in-law, right? Then the Tsaros would be excluded as well. The question is, since islandess is excluded, but not excluded seemingly as an Erva, are her Tsaros excluded? That's an interesting question, right? So Rav Asi says, Tsaros islandess Asura, just like Tsaros Erva's Asura, so too Tsaros islandess Asura. And we're going to have to explain why that should be, because it doesn't seem to fit the normal paradigm of Tsaras Erva. Okay? So Tsaras Islandess is Asura, Shenemar, Vahaya HaBachar, Asher Teled, prak l'ailanis she'eni yoled. Now that's true that it says that, and that's prak l'ailanis she'eni yoled. But why does that have to spill over into the Tzoros? Right? Okay. Masav Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asks, Shosh Achim Nesuin, Shalosh Nashim Nachrios, three brothers, who are married to three different women. Simple case, they're not even related to each other at all. Three women from three different families. Three brothers, three wives with different last names. Okay? Umeisach Amehem, one of them, Ruvain, dies. The Asaba, Shani, Maimar Umeis. Ah, now it gets complicated. Shimon, instead of doing Ibum or Chalitza with one of the wives of Ruvain, did Maimar. Maimar is Kiddushin, which according to Beis Hillel is only effective midrabanan. Beis Shammai thinks Maimar works the Raisa for Yibum. Beis Hillel thinks it's only a Dindrabanan. So he was Mekadesh, which is a Dindrabanan in Yibum, one of the wives of Ruvain, and then he died. The problem is, since it works midrabanan, but it doesn't work Minatora, so it's, you know, it's kind of in limbo. Umeis, and he died, so he left. Now he has his own wives, meaning Shimon had his own family, right? Or his own wife, at least. Maybe wives, okay. And now he also has this, you know, one of the wives of Reuben, who he did Maimer with. So the rule is, Harei Luchotzos below Misyavmos. There is Chalitza, but there cannot be Yibum, because that's what we call the din of, or it's a Safek Eshes Shnei Mesim. We're not sure. The Maimer doesn't really work with our Torah, but it kind of works with Rabbanan. So the question is, Levi, right, who now would be stepping in, doesn't know how to relate to this woman, right? Because is she the wife of Reuven, the wife of Shimon, or is she kind of both? Okay. Shenemar beis achad mehem yivam yavolah mishalah zikas yavam achad. If this woman had one zika, either Reuven or Shimon, clearly, in other words, if she had done yibum with Shimon, and then Shimon died, she would now be Ishto Shel Shimon. It wouldn't be a problem. If nothing had happened, and Shimon died before he did anything, she'd still be the Ishto Shel Reuben, and that would be fine. But because it's kind of in between, so it looks like Eishah Shnei Mason. Below Zika Shnei Yivam. Uktani Avadam, the Mishnah continues in sentence. Omar Rav Yosef Zui Tzoras Eishas Ach Me'av. So there's a very big statement made here in this context. That is, that this is Tzoras, this is called Tzoras Eishes Ach Me'av, because the Isa Nefila, meaning this Shnei Mesim, caused it. And that's why there's no Tzor, that's why there's Tzoro, the Tzoro Ptura in this case as well. So he says, Lemute, by what is this coming to exclude? Lav Lemute Tzaras Islandis Deshari? Isn't this statement intended to say, here we exclude the Tzara, but in the case of Islandis, we don't exclude the Tzara? So the Gemara says, Lo, Lemute Tzaras Islandis Dasira. We actually mean to exclude Tzaras Islandis, which are prohibited completely. I mean, they don't mean there's no Zika at all. Gemai Zuhi. Zuhi, the Isur Nefila Garam La. In the case of the Safek, Eishah Shnei Mesim, it's true that there's no Yibum for the Tzara, but at least there'll be Chalitza. Here, it's so Mufka that there's no Zika at all, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. My time, what's the difference? Hadaraisa, Island is a Daraisa problem. And Hadarabanan, the case of Eishah Shnei Mesim, in this case, with the Maimar, is only a Darabanan problem. Okay. Right, it sounds in the Mishnah that if ever there's islandness, that there is no Ptur Tzaros, because we say any case of Mitsu islandness Tzarsayim Mutaros, right, meaning there's no Isar. So the Gemara says also, Lo Kasher, Kanchi Hikirba, Kanchi Lo Hikirba. The Mishnah is talking about a case where a man worried a woman, thought she was, you know, perfectly capable, right, physically normal, and it turns out that she was an islandess, so that's a Mekotel, so it turns out he was never married to her. If she's never, if she's not in the pool of wives, then there's no Ptur Tzara. Here we're talking about a situation where he knew who she was, he knew her problem, he wanted to marry her, right? And therefore, there's a Ptur of Tzaros because she's in the pool. Aikonami, because this can be also discerned by the language of the Braisa. The Tani Shenimtsu Veloktani Shahoyu. There it says Nimtsu, we found out that she was an islander, not that she was an islander. Shmamina. Then the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Hilchasa Tsaras Islandis Materas, Afilu Hikirba, Afilu Tsaras Bito Islandis. Alhadik Tani Shenimtsu, Tani Shahoyu. And the Mishnah says, we don't paskin like Ravasi, we paskin that Tsaras Islandis is permitted to do Yibam and Chalitza. And not only that, this is amazing, let's say the islandess was also his daughter. In other words, again, there are two, Reuben dies, leaves three wives, right? One of them is an islandess, and she also happens to be Shimon's daughter. Reuben married Shimon's daughter, he's allowed to do that, right? That's one of the cases of the Mishnah. Now normally, that's Tsaras Erba, and all the they'd all be excluded from Zika. But since she's also an islandess, right, again, this is a trivia question, right, by being an islandess, somehow that's makshir, her being an erva. We have to explain that. Why should that be? Okay, she's not in the pool. That's what we're going to say. That's the Gemara. So what comes out of this Gemara is that there's a machlokes between Ravasi and Rav. So that Tsaras islandess is subject to Yibam B'chalitza and Zika or not. And Rava said another thing as well, namely, Bito islandess is also no good. So I just want to leave you, since we have the Mesiris Nefesh of the copy of it. Let me just leave you with one makar. Do I have it here? And that is the Yerushalmi. There are two Yerushalmis that discuss this question. The first Yerushalmi asks why Rabba, or the equivalent of Rabba, why wouldn't there be a Tsaras islandess, which is Petura Mina Yibam Mina Chalitza. Listen to this. Rabun Barchia Amar Rababa Bar Mamo Boy, islandess to Eishas Hachem Shaleo Balamo Hoyu B'Parsha My Chamis Neymar islandess Tsaras Muteres Eishas Hachem Shaleo Balamo Tsaras Asura. One of the 15 cases in the Mishnah is Eishas Ach Shalo Haya Balamo. What are we discussing today? Right? If the child was born, the brother was born after his older brother died already, then there's Eshesach and there's no Yibum or Chalitza, correct? And also in the next iteration of this. Now, if you have that situation, there would be a Petur Tzara as well. How come that's different than Islandess? Amalei. Islandess mitam acher hotseisa. The reason that a brother who is born late can't participate is because Torah says kiyaku kiyeshu achim yachda. But islandess is exclusion is for a totally different reason. Ashotela yotzezu sheni yoledes. And then Yerushalmi says lo dayecho sheinim es yavemes. It's a big enough chiddush. This is a remarkable Yerushalmi to say that there's no yibum. That's a chiddush. Elishat mevakish lesser tzarasla. You want to push it further and say that not only she cannot be a Yavama, but that her sorrows are affected by her presence as well. Right? The Erba Poteras Tsarasa. Leave it that for that for the moment. What does it sound like Yerushalmi saying? That islandess is barely excluded from evil. Right? And therefore its sorrows are not excluded. Look at the next Yerushalmi, with this we conclude for today. Here's where the Yerushalmi asks the question of Bito islandess. Just because the islandess is also his daughter, so the din of Tsaras Erva, which normally would apply, is somehow rehabilitated by the virtue of two problems, solve the problem?
Two negatives?
So the Yerushalmi says, Ila Bito min asun velo islandess. If it was his daughter and she wasn't an islandess, Tsaras Asura. So if Nation Itosipla islandess, Tsarasa Muteras. Now it's a double negative, it turns into a positive? I guess yeah. Amalei islandess kimi she'ena ba'olam.
Wow.
Right? The islandess isn't even she's not in the parasha, she's Mukka Lagamri. And therefore her being an erva doesn't infect the group because she's so mufka. What I want to discuss is two things. Three things. Number one, Rav Asi What is Rav, why does Rav Asi think that Tzoras Island is a surah? This is a rare book. So what is that about? Number two. These two Yerushalmis seem like opposites. The first Yerushalmi seems to say that Island is barely mufka. She should really be a candidate for Yibum. Tayacha, that you're throwing out the Tzoros, that's too much. But the second Yerushalmi sounds like it's saying exactly the opposite. Islandis, how can you talk about an Islandis Yivama? So how can Lach Hashem be Israel? She's so not a candidate that even if she's an Erba, that's not going to matter either. What's fascinating is, just give it away, that the Rambam and the Ramban quote both of these Yerushalmis. Yeah.
We find the same thing by Soita.
Yeah. That what?
Gifra, the she's found guilty, he is guilty too.
You mean like a double, or if he's guilty,
no,
then we won't.
He's always guilty
by forcing her.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting parallel. We'll discuss it. Okay. So we'll finish. We'll continue with this next time.